Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a plastic surgeon based in the UK has just come up with a list of the 10 most handsome men in the world. No doubt it's a coincidence, but all 10 happen to be world-famous publicity-attracting movie stars and not just random handsome people. The surgeon said his criteria for judging handsomeness was the golden ratio, which is more an ancient Greek maths thing, and that has been applied to art and much more lately faces. So when people go to get their faces done, do they bring a ruler with them? Professor Jack Kelly is president of the Irish Association of Plastic Surgeons. Afternoon, Jack.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so could you explain what is the golden ratio, and is that something plastic surgeons take into account?
Well, the golden ratio, I mean, it's the ratio of the forehead to the midface to the lower face. It's usually divided into thirds. So the forehead is usually one third of the length of the face. The midface, then the nose is about one third. And then from the base of the nose to the chin is another third. And that's sort of the golden ratio that you use when looking at people. But there are many, many other aspects that people look at when assessing facial beauty. And the golden ratio is just one of a myriad that are being used.
Okay, so what other things are taken into account?
Well, people look then, classically, there are lots of studies looking at the periorbital area. I mean, you often hear people going for blepharoplasties. So lots of studies have looked at the angle between the medial and lateral canthus. In other words, the angle of the eyelid, the lower eyelid. If it's up sloping, it's very attractive. And it's one of the beauties, one of the features that people look for when looking at beautiful people.
Okay, so because you slightly lost me there. What bit of the eye is that? Is that the bit over the eye?
If you look at somebody's open eye,
yeah,
and look at the inside part of the eye and look at the outside part of the eye, it's like an oval.
Okay.
If that angle slopes away from the nose in a kind of a high line, that's considered to be beautiful.
Okay.
If it's horizontal, it's not quite as attractive. And if it's downsloping, it's considered to be an aged eyelid. So these are other features that people look at when they're assessing beauty.
Right. Okay. And I assume you're looking for everything to be symmetrical. Like if you have one eye bigger than the other, that's probably a no-no.
Yeah. So there's lots of theories about that. I mean, perfect symmetry is extremely rare. There was a very famous book published in 1996 by a group in San Francisco, and they picked a very young, beautiful model who appeared in hundreds of the photographs. And that happened to be Cameron Diaz before she became famous. She was the model they picked because she has perfect facial symmetry, which is very rare.
Yeah. And so would you find, or one would one find, that there are parts of the world where you'll come across more of this symmetry than in other parts of the world?
Well, that's an interesting question. Before the show, we had a chat with one of your researchers. And I mean, perception of beauty varies by race and ethnicity. I mean, you've always heard the expression, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So one person's perception of beauty is completely different. But in terms of race, I mean, classically, we always felt that the Russians, the Latvians and the Scandinavians as a group of people were always considered to be particularly attractive. But that's not to say that, you know, other races are not attractive as well. I mean, as you said in the introduction, the Brits feel that their people are more attractive than everybody else. But, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, what you think is beautiful today may not be what you think is beautiful tomorrow. Mm. And people vary in their perceptions.
Yeah. So, but then where did these ideas originate from about facial symmetry and that's taken to be attractive?
Well, this comes from cosmetic surgery. So when people come for cosmetic surgery or cosmetic treatments, the practitioner would often say to them, you know, this is what I think we can do to adjust your facial symmetry. And there are various different angles, lines, and various different aspects to facial beauty that people can address and say, in other words, I can address your cheeks, I can make them slightly higher, I can address your lips, I can give you fuller lips. They can measure various different lines and angles on the face. For example, there was a study done a couple of years ago that 30% of people are self-aware of their facial asymmetry, but only about 25% are bothered by it. So even though people look at themselves and think I'm slightly asymmetric, the vast majority of people are not bothered by it.
Yeah. But that would imply, though, that the majority of people aren't aware of it at all. They might have, you know, a gumpy nose and be waddling through life completely unaware of it.
Well, there are studies looking at that as well. I mean, what you can do is you can take a photograph of somebody and you can Photoshop it and show them changes, and you can show groups of people changes. If you can demonstrate a 2 millimeter change in the symmetry of the eyelid, people will spot it and consider it to be abnormal. And then it goes on for the brow, the nasal tip and the chin. So if you said, you know, a wonky nose, if your nose is, the tip of the nose is 4 millimeters off to the side, people become very self-aware of that. Under 4 millimeters, they don't see it.
Hi, my word. So can somebody come into you or any plastic surgeon And you could take, not to be cruel, but like a kind of an ordinary looking face and turn it into a beautiful face, whether that be a man or a woman.
I know. I mean, that's fanciful. But I mean, what you can do sometimes if somebody has a very, very significant asymmetry, we classically see this in patients now, for example, who've had strokes. Somebody's had a stroke, they've got severe facial asymmetry at rest. And what you can do is, and we do this regularly, even in public hospitals, we can treat the animated or normal side of the face with Botox so that the face becomes more symmetrical. So even when the patient smiles, you can make the patient much more attractive. And then you can reintroduce movement into the opposite side of the face with various different techniques and operations. So you can restore symmetry and you can restore attractiveness using various different techniques, but you can't make somebody completely different when they walk through the door.
Okay. And in this list of this top 10 list, Paul Mescal came third. In your view, would he have a particularly symmetrical face?
He would. I mean, most of the people who are in these lists are very symmetrical as well and probably have had a little bit of work that you don't want to say in the past, but somebody might have had some work to try and increase the symmetry as opposed to, you know, somebody who hasn't had work. So they can identify areas that are asymmetric and address those areas individually. So in other words, people can have fillers and Botox to address asymmetries and then appear on these lists.
Yeah.
They're not always born that way.
Yeah. In your line of work, Jack, does it make you a bit self-conscious? Are you looking in the mirror and, you know,
me?
Like the rest of us are trying to just look vaguely human, but you're going, God, that eyelid there, that needs a bit of a tweak.
No, I don't think, no, certainly. And I don't think most plastic surgeons would not consider themselves to be self-conscious, but certainly meet people who are very self-conscious. And, you know, sometimes it's justified. Sometimes they've perceived something to be slightly asymmetric or something abnormal. And sometimes it's genuine. But some people come in and they perceive something to be abnormal and there's nothing to find. And that can be quite a difficult consultation when you're saying to somebody, look, I really don't think there's not much going on here. Mm. I can't really help you. But the patient is adamant then that something is wrong, but you can't see anything that you can address adequately. That can be a difficult conversation.
Okay, well, that perhaps would speak to a psychological issue rather than necessarily a physical one.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's unfortunate. So, I mean, you know, in terms of the psychological impact that this sort of thing has on people, just before I came on your show, I was looking at the websites there. There are various different web pages where you can take a photograph of yourself, enter the photograph, and you can get a beauty score. And that's one way of making yourself extremely self-conscious.
Oh, wow.
If you put a picture on the page and then you get a beauty score out of 10.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't agree with that. I think that's a terrible thing to do because nobody's going to score 10 and everybody would become slightly self-conscious.
Absolutely. One of our listeners, Jack, says, my left side is more handsome than George Clooney, but my left, but my right side is more Wayne Rooney. What would that average out as?
Probably about a 5.
Jack, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Professor Jack Kelly there, President of the Irish Association of Plastic Surgeons.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.